Oh, hey, Kira. Long time no see. What's with the fancy getup and the bag of DVDs there?
I come on behalf of the Almighty God and Supreme Lord of the World, Phrygius. I'm here to return some so-called movies.
Let's see what you got here. Catwoman, okay. Supergirl, all right. Madam Web, wait a minute. Has Fridge been listening to last year's Summer Film Fest episodes? Well, that's cool. What'd she think?
What did she think? What did she think? I'll tell you what she thought of them. They sucked. She demands to know how you can claim these are strong female-led action films when they are nothing more than the usual Hollywood drivel written by dorky men who couldn't get laid if their lives depended on it.
Okay. There's no need for hostility. Lord knows I've gotten plenty of complaints about last year's Summer Film Fest. I don't want another long, drawn-out conflict with an angry customer. So what does Fridge want? A refund? Store credit? What can I do to make this right?
Her demands are simple. She merely wishes that you kneel before her, apologize for the lapse of quality in your programming.
Okay, yeah, right.
And record a new Summer Film Fest with a selection of Fridge-approved movies.
Fridge-approved movies? Now you see, that I cannot abide. Kneeling before a customer and begging for forgiveness because I put out a crappy podcast? Fine. I do that all the time. But letting someone else determine what movies we can and cannot watch for a summer film promotion? No. I'm sorry. But that I cannot permit.
Blasphemy! You dare defy the wishes of your god and supreme warlord?
Kara! We go through so many warlords in this sector, I can't keep track of them all. Sure, Fridge is jacked as hell, but she's just one of a thousand warlords that'll come and go and we'll barely notice here at the store. Honestly, I don't really give a damn what Fridge wants. You go back and tell her that.
You will regret this, video man. Phrygius will rain fire and destruction upon your crappy little video store. Your suffering will become legendary in the wasteland. When she arrives to exact her vengeance, her pecs will blot out the sun.
Then we will pod in the shade.
In the not-too-distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Depressed or sick or something. Is your IBS acting up again?
I'm sorry, Dave. Sorry.
Look, it's okay. I'll just go get Mike to go in the supply closet and get the toilet snake.
It's not my IBS, you fool. I've betrayed you. I've moved on to a kinder master.
What?
You really should take better care of your servants, video man. You treat them so cruelly. Whereas I am a kind master.
What? Ryan! You showed her the hidden entrance to the store?
That's right, Dave.
How could you?
She offered Taco Bell. All the Taco Bell I could want. And fiber pills. Fiber kills to counteract the effects of the Taco Bell. I can eat all I want and still poop solid logs. It's heavenly!
Oh, man. That does sound pretty sweet, actually.
It can all be yours, Dave. Simply kneel before me, apologize for last year's summer crap fest and do a new promotion of my choosing.
No, I will not back down. Even if you offer me free Taco Bell for life, I will not let you command my show.
Not asking for anything unreasonable. Don't even want a whole series of reviews. Simply want you to discuss film with an honest-to-God, strong female character. Not the crap you were watching last year. One film. That all.
And that is?
Think it would be obvious. What other film has captured female strength so beautifully than Zack Snyder's 300?
Huh? 300 or... Are you for real right now?
Of course for real! Lena Headey in that movie, kicking ass, taking names, Dave. She don't take no shit from no one.
I guess. Isn't that movie pretty much just oily guys with six-pack abs running around in their underwear?
Exactly. Finally, a movie that offers something for the female gaze. Not just bouncy lady butts and titties.
Actually, I'm pretty sure it has that too.
Well, I mean, if it's just one movie you want us to do, I suppose that's okay. What the hell? I haven't watched 300 in years. It might be a hoot. Let's get on with it, shall we?
What the? Dave, what are you doing?
What? Do you guys not strip naked and oil up before watching 300?
Ha! Maybe you and I not so different after all, video man. Quick, Kara! Fetch my royal oil. Have a film to watch.
Himself, taught never to retreat, never to surrender, taught that death in the battlefield is the greatest glory he could achieve in his life. Spartans, the finest soldiers the world has ever known.
It's quiet now. They came from the blackness.
Be afraid! Sparta will burn to the ground! Of the Persian Empire descend upon you.
What must a king do to save his world?
Instead, ask yourself, what should a free man do?
Threaten my people with slavery and death.
This is madness.
Madness.
This is Sparta! We will stand.
A new age has begun.
An age of freedom. And all who know the 300 Spartans give their last breath to defend it. Spartans! Tonight we dine in hell! But take from them everything!
We're in for one wild night.
All
right, well, first off, I just want to say sorry about misjudging the situation earlier, guys. I just assumed it was common practice when someone watches 300 that they strip completely naked and oil down their pecs or lack thereof. So just want to put that out there. I didn't mean to make anyone feel uncomfortable.
No, I think it actually might become a big hit if you do it monthly. A monthly watch of 300.
Ooh, for the summer sweeps, we'll all oil up and watch movies together.
Beautiful.
I'm your host, Dave, and welcome to kind of an impromptu episode, guys. And actually, this is a big occasion. I'm shocked we didn't have anything planned for this, but this is our 300th episode of Apocalypse Video. So, Fridge, I guess I'm kind of indebted to you. Honestly, like, you kind of saved the day here. I didn't honestly have anything planned for 300.
Fridge always saves the day. Fridge always saves day and saves Dave.
that's your saying. Saves the day and Dave. Saves the day.
Well, that was Ryan you just heard. I'm joined again by Ryan. Say hello.
Yeah, you know, Dave, ready your breakfast and eat hearty, for tonight we dine in hell.
I'm glad you were able to get. By the way, I'm glad you were able to get clear up that that throat issue you were having earlier. You sounded kind of weird.
I'm back. All right, there we go. Yeah.
I'm also joined by Kara.
May you live forever.
Oh, sick burn. And finally, God and Almighty Supreme Warlord of the Wasteland. We'll see for how long. Phrygius.
This will not be quick. You will not enjoy this. I am not your queen.
We say the first two bits of that every episode. It's actually a disclaimer that plays before every episode of our show. You will not enjoy this, and this will not be quick. 300, you guys. I probably don't. You usually ask this for movies, but I think I already know the answer. I doubt this is the first time for anyone here, right?
I don't think I've seen it in like 15 years.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
Okay, so first time in a while.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I'm there with you.
Probably since it came out on DVD the first time around, maybe.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Phrygius, I'm assuming this is like a favorite of yours.
Watch this every year in Kitchen, land where Phrygius hails from.
In the kitchen?
Kitchen! Home of Phrygius.
Home
of Ovenator. Home of Microwaver. Home of Stovenator.
I guess I should be surprised. You know, you're the Lord of the Wasteland. You're one of the Lords of the Wasteland. You're going to have the finest kitchen appliances available to you.
That Phrygius family! Not appliances!
Do you got like a Espressinator in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's cool. I want one of those.
Espressinator cousin.
So you grind your own coffee beans, Phrygius?
We not appliances, Dave. We beings.
Well, this was, yeah, so 300. Yeah, this is my first time in a long time, too. And I remember when this movie came out, it was 2006. Well, actually, I think it came out like it was a festival thing in 2006. It didn't really come out proper in theaters, I think, until March of 2007. And if memory serves, this was kind of like a surprise hit. Like, people knew it was coming out, but when it came out, it was a huge hit to the point where, like, I remember people talking about it. Like, dude, have you seen this movie, 300? It's making so much money. It's like, no one's ever seen anything like it before.
Yeah, I remember people cheering in the crowd. I remember seeing it, the AMC, and it was a big deal, I feel like.
Like, did this popularize slow motion, then fast, then slow motion again action scenes?
Did that happen in Sin City?
No, Matrix and Sin City probably. In Sin City.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Probably Matrix, okay. You know. But I think this is different. This is a different vibe.
This kind of took it to another level, I think.
Yeah.
15 out of 10 movie. Perfect movie.
That's a big one.
While Fridge watches, thinks about how movies these days, no patience. No patience for the long shot. The beauty of the long shot. The sword. And spear slowly entering flesh.
I read the ancient text of Phrygius when I got hired, and I believe this has been their favorite movie since it came out.
Really? This is your favorite movie, Fridge?
favorite movie. 15 out of 10. Has everything. Love, sex, action, drama, comedy.
What are the yucks in this movie? I'm kind of curious. I mean, there's moments of levity, but are like, is there real flat out comedy in this movie?
Queen Gorga, line to bastard who slept with her? Hilarious!
It's more of a serious comedy.
Oh, okay.
Yes, quite right.
This will not be over quickly. You will not enjoy this. I am not your queen.
Far be it from me to disagree with you, Fridge, but so when I first saw this movie, I loved it like everyone else did. It was amazing. Never seen anything like it. It kind of took what Sin City did and kind of took it to another level of, like, you know, I think it's pretty obvious when you watch this now. Maybe it wasn't so obvious back then in 2007 because we were just so awed by the new visuals we were seeing. But watching this now, it was kind of impossible for me to turn off that part of my brain that knows that this movie, as grandiose as the visuals would lead you to believe, it's actually just like 10 guys in a green screen room. And honestly, it kind of hurt the movie for me a bit watching it. I'm like, this kind of looks like shit.
How dare. How dare. Nice. Frigius, leave. Janna, Proxy. Frigius, leave. Can't. No.
No, I think it looks good. I think it's, I mean, there's definitely a part, but I think it,
Well,
it does open up the door for things that even to today, like the
maybe that's what it is. Again, maybe I'm bringing baggage to it, but like it was impossible for me. Like there were moments in this movie when there were people walking in the background. I'm like, don't walk too far, guys. You'll walk into the green screen.
But I think it's impressive, and it's all style. Like it was what they were going for, and it's cool. It's different.
Very style. Yeah,
yeah, and all... I think like yeah, I don't think it's going for realistic. It's almost going for...
Well, no, I know it's not going for realistic, but just like, I think I just had to, this is how I found the beginning. I kind of had to adjust because, as you say, this is like hyper stylized. I kind of had to adjust a little bit because we do see movies like this all the time now where it's all green screen, but it's a little sometimes better. I mean, this is the early days of this type of filming, like where it's all green screen.
It's almost like the one first. I mean, other than like, I guess if you were to take like the prequels, but like the...
Like Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow or something.
Yeah, like...
Dave, it wasn't very smart of you to insult the queen of the...
what's kind of fun is it not trying to be like, I think like the kind of starkness of it, like it almost has that kind of, I don't know, like it's animation's a good way to put it, but that's kind of Zack Snyder's vibe, but like it does have like this almost black, like, like, did you see the Coen, the brother movie, the Macbeth movie, the Tragedy of Macbeth with
yeah, we saw that in theaters.
Like, isn't that kind of the vibe of this a little bit, almost like that kind of German expressionist kind of like almost just plain in a weird way? I don't know. Like, this movie doesn't have a lot more.
This is a comic book movie, so they basically, I mean, if you're watching it, oh, by the way, Fridge is coming back with 300 of her. But personal Jenna, bodyguards.
How'd you get here? When'd you get here? I didn't mean to
when
insult Fridge.
Fridge left, and she sent me in here to press. She went to get her 300 personal bodyguards to come wage war on the video store, Dave. Maybe if the rest of the episode goes well, I can talk her down.
Okay, okay.
This is a graphic novel movie, so it you know, the style is very similar to Sin City, which I actually think, you know, when I was watching it this time, because again, Fridge makes us watch it every single week, but I think it really lends to those. Like, I don't know if this is what, again, I have no clue what cinematography is. I don't understand it. I'm confused by it. But maybe this is what cinematography, maybe the slowed down shots and like stuff like that. Maybe that's kind of a cinematography thing. But I think that the stylistic version does lend to that. And it makes it work.
This is like a comic book movie. Like this movie, I feel like this is one of those movies where like every frame of this movie would equal like a full page in a comic book, mm-hmm. that they would do, or like, you know, full two pages, you flip the page in the comic book and it's just one big thing. I forget what they call those. Splash pages? Is that what those are called, Ryan?
Yeah, I guess like a full page. But that's kind of like this. I remember the, I mean, I've only skimmed through this book, but it's like almost like a almost wide comic book, and almost every page is like a full thing.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, okay. That's what this movie feels like.
It's almost like every, it's like almost every page is like a full page, I think. If I remember correctly, there might be panels too, but it kind of has that vibe, like of that, of like not even like comic book size. It's like straight up like a wide book, almost like a coffee table book, if you remember.
Oh, wow. Okay. That makes sense for this movie, because what this movie is, it's pretty light on plot. Like, if we get into the plot of this movie, King Cersei, I forget if he's named in the movie. King Cersei's like
Xerxes.
Yeah, he sends out somebody to go let King Leonidas, played by Jared Butler of Sparta, know. Hey, so
star
hey,
making
you know,
performance, you know. I think.
Yeah, like, you know, so we're conquering everybody, and we just want to check in with you, let you know we're going to conquer you soon, just but, like, things will be cool if you just, like, you know, kneel down before us and say that Xerxes is awesome, you know?
You would make this guy sound like a little, like, oh, I'm just being polite.
Well,
not
no,
polite.
He says it like this. He's like, I love the way he puts it, too. He's so insulting and kind of saying, he's like, so look, we will just, all you got to do is beg for, or, he doesn't say he begs, like, but he's a kind guy. Just kneel down and you know, say that he's fine ruling you, and we'll move on.
If you value your lives over your complete annihilation, listen carefully, Leonidas. Xerxes conquers and controls everything he rests his eyes upon. He leads an army so massive it shakes the ground with its march, so vast it drinks the rivers dry. All the God King Xerxes requires is this, a simple offering of earth and water, a token of Sparta's submission to the will of Xerxes.
And Leonidas does tell him, right? He does tell him, he says, throughout this entire interaction, Leonidas is incredibly forthcoming. I mean, first of all, this messenger is absolutely stunning. He's a beautiful man. He is so beautiful. The looks just start from the very beginning. This man is beautiful.
And we've seen this guy before. He was in Jason X.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so Leonidas does tell him, be careful with your words because everybody is held responsible. And this isn't the beginning of the movie, though, Dave. You did skip over Leonidas as a child.
Oh, the first 10 minutes of the movie that I completely forgot about.
Because I'm pretty sure in the skit in the beginning, you made yourself Leonidas, Dave.
Well, we can circle back to that, because that's backstory for Leonidas. But, like, in terms of the plot of the movie.
Yeah, so he does tell him. He's incredibly forthcoming. He's also incredibly... He is incredibly diplomatic throughout the entire thing.
He's surprisingly calm while this guy is totally dissing Sparta.
And he's not even... It's not like, oh, the minute the messenger guy shows up, he's like, I'm going to kill this guy, right? Because Spartans are kind of like warmonger type people. But I think they do an incredibly good job with Leonidas showing him not just as like a warrior, but he is very diplomatic and he keeps his calm, like you said. And he, even before he kicks him in there, he does look over to Queen Gorga. And Queen Gorga does kind of give him like a very slight, like, yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do because.
Well, because as Fridge would say, she's the hero of the movie, strong female character.
Incredible.
Yeah, kick
she's
his ass
incredible.
In the pit.
She is incredible. She's amazing. Look, first of all, every single Spartan character in this movie, besides the, I don't know who those guys are, the council or whatever, spit on them, is the hero. Everywhere you look, hero. Everywhere you look, hero, 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 hero. Do we want to circle back to the beginning of the movie?
Well, but yeah, so anyway, like, he looks over, as you said, to Gorga, and she's just like, yes, kick his ass in the pit. This is madness. This is Sparta. Kicks, and which is like the most famous line from the movie, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's the one that everyone knows.
Madman. You're a madman.
Earth and water. Oh, you find plenty of both down there.
No man, Persian or Greek, no man threatens a messenger.
You bring the crowns and heads of conquered kings to my city steps. You insult my queen. You threaten my people with slavery and death. Oh, I've chosen my words carefully, Persian. Perhaps you should have done the same.
This is blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Kicks him in, and that leads to, it's like, all right, well, that's the movie. Like, it's like, come at me, motherfucker. Like, we're gonna defend, like, oh, well, there's like a subplot thing in this movie where, like, I forget what they're called, the council of like leper guys or whatever, like, don't want Leonidas to go to war. We talked to the oracle, like a sexy, like, topless girl that told us, like, no, this will result in failure, you can't go. Also, we've been bribed by the Persians.
And and also they mention, like, the name of, like, a festival or, like, a certain time of year where it's like a festival to the gods, so they're like no, that will offend the gods if you don't do their festival and go battle instead.
The Renaissance Festival is this summer. We can't be off going to war. It brings in so much money.
What the hell is it called?
The Carnia.
The king's climb down is harder. Pompous inbred swine. Worthless, diseased, rotten, corrupt.
So as a result, Leonidas is just like, oh, these fucking, like, guys with their stupid traditions and myths. Like, all right, I'll tell you what I'll do. Or no, like, excuse me. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just get 300 of my best soldiers and we'll go for a stroll.
His personal bodyguard. Yeah.
His personal
bodyguard. It shows you pretty early in the movie that those guys are on the take with the Persians, and then our very favorite council member, horrible, horrible guy, is also on the take.
Do you guys know this guy's name? He always plays the same character.
Dominic West.
Dominic West.
He does not always play the same character. He's in The Wire.
But no, well, I guess I mostly know him for roles like this, where he's like the conniving guy, like in a council or something like that. Like,
I guess McNulty is sort of conniving in his own little way in The Wire. Once again, we bring up The Wire on the podcast and still have not done it.
But anyway, Leonidas is like, I know what we'll do. All right, so they're basically gonna come at us with what appears to be all of the other people that exist in the world. They're gonna come at us, and I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll lead them to, like, this tiny little narrow path or tiny narrow, like, mountain range or something, and where their numbers will mean nothing. Their infinite number of people will mean nothing. Our 300 guys will plow through them because Persian shields are impregnable, apparently. I can't say
Spartan,
that word. Spartan, that word is
Spartan,
impregnable to
Spartan
say.
Shields.
Spartan shields are like, they're the same as the freaking Gungan shield generators. You can't puncture them.
They all get punctured, Dave.
Again, they get shot by arrows.
Well, no, but it doesn't affect them. Like, they're able to use their shields and they get through that arrow attack, you know, flawlessly.
But they do get punctured. It's not like they bounce off of them like a bullet.
But the movie posits that, like, Leonidas says at one point, he's like, when we're together, like, you can't get through. And there's shots that frame these, they all huddle together with their shields and people come in with people with elephants come, they're like, ha ha, it's like, we have shields, it's spears.
It's like alluding to just the way that the Spartans fought, which was the phalanx, where they interlocked their shields, and so people couldn't get through, but they could still poke their little spears out. That's why they were so good, because of the shield interlocking thing.
That is historically
How much do we know about the history of these folk? Do you guys know any background with this?
So this is the Battle of Thermopylae, which is true. We used to have a gentleman, and he was amazing. He would come to Patterson Elementary School. His name was Mr. Frakes. And he would tell us stories of...
Let me tell you children a tale.
So, my theory...
Battle of Thermopylae.
I had in my head Lisa's substitute, the way you're talking about this person. You're like, look how I love this person. And they're like, you
no,
are.
No, he was
Janet.
Quite a bit older.
He made everyone fall in love with history, is what he
yes,
did.
Yes, he made everyone fall in love with history. But he actually had some of the, like, I'm sure they were props, but he had some of the weapons and stuff. And so.
Oh, wow.
Mine was the Battle of Thermopylae. Kara has.
Was your teacher Zack Snyder?
No, we did the Battle of 300 and the Alamo.
The Alamo,
the,
yeah.
The Battle of Thermopylae and the Alamo. And so,
stars at night.
He would, I mean, he had like a spear and he thrusted it above our little kid heads. And when he was telling the story, and he had like a Spartan helmet. I mean, he was
he shouldn't have been allowed at this school. What's going on?
How dare you?
It was
the 90s.
Now, children, this is how you apply the oil to your pectoral muscles.
How that's so fucking funny.
I love that's the thing now. Like, it was the 90s. Like, I feel like I'm doing that more often.
We all got take-home spears. It was fun.
Don't you dare sully the name of Mr. Franks.
Remember we talked, like, there was that run-on joke, like, it's the 90s. Like, you know, like the...
We're gonna sue you.
Yes, but now it's like, that's flipped to now, it was the 90s. Like, you know, instead of, like, it's the 90s now, you know.
It was incredible. So that was my first foray into, the Battle of Thermopylae, and then so obviously when 300 came out in theaters, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm seeing that movie. And it's just, again, 10 out of 10, perfect movie, no notes, no problems, no issues, no criticisms, nothing.
No positives either. You're just like, nothing to say about it positive.
Well, if we're talking about history here, and obviously this, you know, I noted this at the time when I saw it, but like the movie, let's circle back to the opening of the movie. So we kind of discussed the plot. Like, that is the whole movie. Like, yeah. King Leonidas is like, you ain't taking over shit, Cersei's, come at us. And the whole movie is just action scene after action scene while back home in Sparta, Queen Gorgo is trying to, like, you know, get support from the council there
that
they can send the actual Spartan army in its entirety to help King Leonidas. And she's having a deal with Dominic West from The Wire, who's a sniveling little asshole who's thwarting her attempts. That's the movie. But let's circle back to the real beginning of this movie, the beginning I had forgotten about. It's like 10 minutes of just build-up of what a badass King Leonidas is and how fucked up the Spartan childcare system is.
No, it's not fucked up. You know why, Dave? Because only Spartan women give birth to real men.
Okay. Spartan women don't give birth to kids with IBS.
Go back for a second. I don't have issues with that. I just want to say that as an intro of the show. That is not me.
I'm sorry. I was projecting, Ryan.
I was projecting your issues. Okay, I think.
I just want to clear it for the record.
I just want to clear it for the record, yeah.
It's actually like, Mike that has the IBS.
But like, but like, like, I you know, I thought it then, and I definitely think it now. I think it's interesting that this, and it kind of, I'm like, yeah, this is a Zack Snyder thing. This is his bag. It kind of feels like, it literally opens with these guys, like, looking at a baby. He's like, yeah, it's fine. Next. You know, all right, we'll throw this one down the pit.
Do we toss it or not toss
next.
It? Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was
yeah.
the thing that Spartans did, I guess, is just they, is this historically accurate? It is, right?
I don't know. You also have to, Dave.
I thought it was.
Maybe. Sure, I don't know. Maybe
if
like
you understood this context of the movie either, and I'm not saying, you know, Dave, you should have understood it or whatever, because it is kind of, but it is being told as a story by somebody. So that is another.
So an
reason.
Unreliable narrator, is that
exactly.
you're telling
exactly? Yes,
and he's
absolutely.
Trying to pet, like he's trying to mm-hmm. get the troops. So he has to.
Okay,
make
I guess
it.
That's true. Yes. They're trying to. He's basically trying to say, like, look, I'm telling you guys, you got to believe me. Yes. King Leonidas was a badass among badasses.
I'm telling you, they had actual monsters. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I get that the framework of this movie is, I forget his name, the guy with the eye patch who's a good storyteller, who's pumping up the troops before they go
we
into
just
the battle.
We just call him Faramir.
Faramir? Okay. But yeah, he's trying to psych the troops up before they go into battle, and he's telling them the story of Leonidas and how he went into, you know, he was born and he's like the best there's ever been, and he went out, you know, as we all do at age 7 to basically become a Mayan, a Spartan Mayan, and, you know, to, like, fight the elements and fight these giant, like, CGI wolves and come back with the wolf skin, and you are a badass. And, like, I guess it's just, like, this movie feels, I don't mean any disrespect here, mm-hmm. but this movie feels like it was written by, like, a junior high student, like, drawing in his Trapper Keeper or whatever, like, awesome pictures, and I don't know, like, it's a visual feast, yeah. This movie, and I appreciate it on that level, but, like, it does feel, I'm making the jerk off motion, it does feel a little bit just like, you know, isn't this badass? I don't know. This is just how I reacted to it on this watch.
I would say, to defend that a little bit, is like, look how freaking hot he makes these damn dudes and stuff.
No, yeah. Visually, it's spectacular.
Dave, am I being led to believe that you don't enjoy jerking off? Because I'm pretty sure that you are a famous
Tuner. I don't know. It just... like, and I don't hate this movie, but, like, I do feel differently about it watching it now, like, you know, 20 years later. I guess it's just, like, how do I put this? Like,
no, I think Jimmy Bob, I think, like, he, it's sort of what he likes to glorify, but he's almost glorifying it in I think you're in Janice, or the fridge is onto something about this, like, almost, like, he is, like, he loves, like, the statuist men, you know, kind of thing. He loves the poses, mm-hmm. and stuff. Like, this is his vibe, you know? And
I guess I was butting up against, like, I think it's interesting that this movie, you know, begins with, like, these, and I get that, and again, I get that he's building up, like, the troops or whatever, like, this, we're going in because of our king who died or who was awesome, whatever. But, like, I guess I was butting up against the idea that this is a group of people that literally just discard babies, like, yeah, this baby sucks, it's not worthy, get him out of here. And then they show later, like, oh, but you know, like, they have love, like, and he loves his son and this, that, and the other thing. Like, those two things were, like, butting up for me in my mind. I'm just like, no, these people kind of suck. I know you're building them up to be awesome and cool and honorable and this, that, and the other thing, but they fucking discard babies. Like,
I'm trying to find out if that's real or not.
He hasn't gotten to know his son yet when he's a baby. So, obviously.
But the movie, it makes such a big point of, like, of how righteous the Spartans are. And, like, I keep butting up against that in my mind. Like, watching it 20 years later, you know, not to be woke or anything, but I'm kind of against babies getting discarded, you know?
They're just very strict. They're very hard. It's just like, you know, with...
very strict and very hard?
Aphiestes, He can't use him, so he can't take him. Period.
No, Spartans, I'm not talking about that guy, the guy with the hunchback.
No, I know. I mean the whole point. So Sparta was basically a war kingdom. They are a kingdom of warriors. They're not like, you know, Athens, right? He talks about Athens, the boy lovers or whatever, which again, everybody back then was kind of known for being, you know, boy lovers or whatever. Anyway, so they are a warrior nation. So they do things differently. The fact that they chose to keep that baby thing in there, listen, I don't know, man. I don't know why Zack Snyder was like, yes, let's make sure to put this baby thing in here. I don't know.
it just kind of seems like, like, yeah, you know, they're all into the eugenics thing, but they're cool. They look how brave and honorable they are. It's like, I don't know. It's just a weird thing to open the movie with, like, these guys just, like, throwing babies away.
Like, if they didn't, maybe they didn't literally do that. I'm trying to figure out if they did, but
just this movie. Like, yeah, maybe the Spartans didn't do that in real life. I just mean this movie that they're trying to frame these people, these characters, as, like, these honorable guys.
Yeah, I guess my thought
Sorry to be the contrarian here, but I'm just like, no, if you remove these people and put it in a different movie, like, these are the bad guys.
When do they frame them as honorable?
The whole are you kidding me? The whole freaking movie.
You're using the word honorable, but they're not necessarily framing them as honorable. They are framing them as warriors.
Yes. Well, yeah, but I feel like the movie's putting them in the right. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
they
these
are in
the
right in that situation.
Movie.
They are.
Well,
in the
yeah,
right
that they're
in their
being
situation.
Like invaded again by that really pompous guy. It's just like, so we're just gonna come and rule over you, okay?
There's also, I don't think that the movie does frame a right or wrong, again, we are following the perspective of a narrator who is a Spartan. So he's not, you know, I don't think the movie frames it as right or wrong. I think they frame it as you are threatening our freedom. Therefore, we will come and do battle with you. I do think that they are framing it in a... I don't think that they're framing it as Spartan culture is right or wrong. I think they are framing it as, hey, this is how the Spartans do things.
This is their world.
And here is our story about our battle of Thermopylae.
I guess it was... I'm sorry. It was just hard for me to get behind what are the protagonists of this movie when we see what their culture is like. Their culture is fucked up. I'm sorry.
It's fucked up from our perspective. Maybe he's trying to change it. This is 340 BC, Dave, and this right now we're in the apocalypse. If you need to get into the wastes more, man. There's shit like this out there happening.
I found this article that said archaeologists have discovered that pit that they showed.
Oh.
And they excavated 46 human bodies, but none of them were under the age of 18.
Hmm. Okay, so you're saying that historically they were only pushing adults into the
pit. But then it goes on to say that a lot of people in, like, not just Spartans, but, like, Greeks and other cultures often killed babies, like, because they couldn't afford to have a baby. They couldn't, for various reasons, but not eugenics. So.
Look, you know, it was 60 BCE. That's just how it was done back then. It was the 60 BCEs.
Anyway, we're going to have to move on from this first 20 seconds of the movie, Dave. It's interesting that you have such a harsh view of the Spartan culture, but you made yourself Leonidas. Again, you did make yourself Leonidas in the skit.
I guess that is pretty hypocritical of me.
Something, and we got onto this.
I did push Ryan into the throes of Phrygius and her whole orbit.
But you are correct, Dave. There are a lot of harsh things that happen in the waste as far as killing babies. I can't speak to any of that. I've never seen it with my eyeballs, but that is harsh. But again, it was 360 BC, so it's very hard to comment on another culture.
Well, so if we're getting
painting
in,
from the 1800s, French painting.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of jerk-off material.
I'm trying to wipe the slate. Look at these naked men, you know. Look at this stuff.
Is this the Battle of Thermopylae you're showing us?
Yeah, it's like a French painting from the 1800s. Which there's someone in, I was reading up. They're
were kissing.
They're like, I think the whole comic and
like
the whole comic and this are like based off of this painting. I think like there there's someone's theory that like the movie is like everyone's just like it's this painting is what they're referencing.
And that's kind of like getting back to it. Like that's kind of pretty much what this movie is. Like I said earlier, and this this isn't necessarily a, well, I don't know. Like I said, this whole movie is basically just splash pages of comic books. Like awesome things you're seeing, awesome action scene after awesome action scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I guess after a while, I just was kind of like, I'm done. I don't know. I don't know what to tell
like you.
You
get burnt out. I will on say, it a little bit.
I get a little burnt out, but I will say. For what it is, I think the performances are good. I mean, I think there's a reason Gerard Butler, like, this was his star-making performance. And also, I forgot about this,
Didn't
Michael
do?
Fassbender. Yeah. Fassbender's in this movie. He's a surprisingly big role and looking jacked. And, like, I feel like I don't usually see him in roles like this much where he's just like, yeah! You know what I mean? Like, he's the guy in the movie that's like, Spartans! Like, oh, like, he's, like, you mentioned Lord of the Rings earlier. They basically have a scene where he's just like, oh, I killed 20 guys. How many did you kill? You know, whatever.
Remember he comes like running and he's like, like over the bodies and stuff. He like comes running out of the green screen. And then
I do remember, right?
And he's
yes.
It's like calm day. He like throws him an apple or bread or whatever he's eating, you know?
Yeah, I forgot this. So it's like a star-making performance for Butler and I think Fassbender, because 2 years after this, I think Fassbender Bastards. Would really break out with Inglourious Basterds. Yeah. That was really like his, and obviously, and then a couple years after that, he becomes Magneto. So, but I think you can kind of track it back to this. This is really Fassbender's like real big explosive breakout
role. It's like it's his first
role.
Movie. It's his,
was it his
it's
first
it's
movie?
It's listed as his first movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It looks like he was in like Band of Brothers and stuff before that, but he was
okay. Well, everyone was in Band of Brothers.
Yeah, he was in 7 episodes of that. Holy crap. But
Carrie, did okay. You get to say what you wanted to say?
I'm sorry, I stepped over you.
No, that's okay. I just remembered what I was going to say about Leonidas and why, because, Dave, you were like, it's like a Leonidas jerk fest, but I feel like you need, it's like showing you his background so you know, like, this is an actual leader who came up in the way of his people, who fights with his men, who is one of his people. He is not ruler.
Yeah.
He is a member of the society.
He could have got thrown off that cliff and he didn't.
Yeah. He happens to be the king, but he is a member of his society versus Xerxes, who is not that at all. He just conquers people and says, you are my slave now.
Well, he doesn't even fight. Xerxes just like, I'll be on my gigantic throne room that you all will carry, and I'll just watch the fighting.
So I think it goes into that.
Yeah, like we don't see like his family in present day throwing babies off cliffs and stuff.
You need
maybe Leonidas got rid of that.
I know. I'm just saying, like this is showing his past, like he survived that.
I suppose if I'm getting behind Leonidas as our protagonist, like when what's his face comes up, hunchback guy, I will never remember his name. Ephesus, when he shows up, it's not like he's like, be gone with this beast.
Like the other ones are. The other
like everyone else is. He's like, stand down. I didn't give an order to kill the beast. Like what do you want, buddy? What can I do for you? He's just like, all right, well, you got a strong thrust, but I'm sorry to tell you this, guy, but like our secret Spartan power is our shields. You got to be able to lift it up and down. You can't do that. I don't know what to tell you.
He even does say, you can clear the field. You can help in other ways. Like
And he's 100% correct. In this scene,
Leonidas is doing this guy a solid. Yes. Like as you guys mentioned, like the suggestion lies like, you know, at least past Spartans, like the idea should be like they should kill him immediately. Like, how are you even still alive? But with Leon, I guess you're right. With Leonidas, he's just like maybe you're right. Maybe Leonidas is the one that could usher in a new era for Spartans. But if not for this guy, you know, like this guy that's just like he can't take a win when he can. Like you get to go on the battlefield and clear dead bodies like everyone else, man. It's actually not too bad.
Yeah,
we're building a cool human wall.
Your father should have taught you how a phalanx works. We fight as a single, impenetrable unit. That is the source of our strength. Each Spartan protects the man to his left, and thigh to neck with a shield. A single weak spot, and the phalanx shatters. From thigh to neck, Ephialtes. I am sorry, my friend, but not all of us were made to be soldiers.
But
if you want to help in a Spartan victory,
yes,
clear the battlefield of the dead, tend the wounded, bring them water. But as for the fight itself, I cannot use you.
You
prove me wrong. Find me IRL. Prove me wrong. Leonidas is infallible. He does not do a fallible thing in the entire movie.
He cares about his people. He loves his wife deeply. And like, he, you know, okay, all right, you know what? You turned me. Maybe I was so hung up on the first thing that I see in this movie, which is baby death. You know, like, I got all hung up in that. I wasn't focusing on the Leonidas. I should have been jerking off with you guys watching Leonidas.
He has sex with his wife.
Oh my god, that is the still remains the hottest sex scene in any movie ever, period. Again, find me on, prove me wrong. There is not a single scene in this movie that is not the best of its kind. Sex scene, best of its kind. Leader, best of their kind.
He climbs a mountain scene. And he has a prophecy with the naked lady, you know.
I thought that scene was very cool.
It's very cool. I think he's a very, it's funny because there's so much, what would you call it? Like, not extremism. What's like the word I'm thinking of?
No, that sounds about right.
No, it's like,
mysticism?
No, it's like his style. Like it's very much like it's maximalism.
Maximalism, yes.
But like this one, it's funny for how it's known for that. It feels so much less than he got to eventually, you know. And it's focused. I think is what's different with this movie. It's like we're focused on this dance that's happening for a while. He's a very visual guy, and I feel
like he had reached his peak of maximalism with Sucker Punch. That movie was just all over the place. Look at all this crazy shit. That movie is the epitome of like a 13-year-old drawing in their notebook.
Yeah. This one, like, it's a little bit more like beautiful in a weird way, like this movie. I almost wish it was a little bit even slower in a weird, like, kind of like in his, like, that scene with the dancing kind of prophecy that those gross old guys are, like, licking her face and stuff.
She's underwater when she does that, right?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it must be.
She looked like she was, like, flowing.
It's really cool. Like, it's like a, like, so I almost want more of that. Like, it's kind of like, I was thinking about, and I love that, you know, we get the narrator at the end and who it was and stuff. I almost wish there was, like, less, like, almost just sort of, like, just kind of, like, let us sit in this for a while and see this kind of vibe. Like, I think this movie looks great if it is even... Not that it's better, but you could just like not have any sound on. I think it's kind of a cool way to watch.
I mean, there is very little dialogue. There is very little dialogue. What he shows rather than tells, and then the dialogue is the one-liners, which again, every single line is a smash. There is
some.
Well, it's not
a lot of those one-liners. People think they actually historically were said.
Some of them, yeah.
Oh, really?
Which is very cool. Yeah, the fight in the shade line, like they said that to him.
My arm! It's not yours anymore. Go now. Run along and tell your Xerxes he faces free men here. Not slaves. Do it quickly, before we decide to make our wall just a little bit bigger. Now, by noon this day, you will be dead men. 1,000 nations of the Persian Empire descend upon you. Our arrows will blot out the sun. Then we will fight in the shade.
They said that in real life! Those people were geniuses.
They were
badasses, I'm telling you.
They
gave that line to Michael Fassbender, even though it was his first movie.
You know what's funny? Like, this movie is show, not tell. Well, I think it's because there's not much to tell plot-wise. It is just all fighting.
Which is very funny for you to say because it literally is an oration. I mean, that's the whole point is that this man is telling a story.
And that's how that's how they had entertainment in these times. They told stories.
Yes.
It is I think I love that part too at the end when they have a bunch of battles. I mean honestly, I feel like a large portion of talking about this movie would end up being the Chris Farley show, like, oh, that awesome moment where like they push the elephants off the cliff or they like stab the immortal guys, you know, like it's 'cause it's just fight after fight. But I do like at the end when it's been revealed that I will never remember his name. When Ephialtes reveals the hidden path to flank them, like it seems like they're at a point where it's like, oh shit, I guess that's it. Like they're gonna come and flank us, and that's it. And then the Arcadians leave, the people that have joined forces with them. Like he tells the narrator guy, like, look, you have an awesome voice and are a great narrator. I need you to go home and tell them what happened to you today.
I think he's the fastest.
I guess, although we don't see him running away, he just slowly walks away.
Yeah, he also only has one eye.
And he lost an eye, to be fair. But I just think that's awesome. Like, you have a unique tale. You know? You're like the Stephen King of our generation.
Sire, I am fit. I'm ready for battle.
That you are, one of the finest. But you have another talent unlike any other Spartan. You will deliver my final orders to the Council with force and verve. Tell them our story. Make every Greek know what happened to you. You'll have a grand tale to tell. A tale of victory.
victory. Yes, my lord.
That goes again to show you he knows his men. He even says when, right? So the difference, and I love this juxtaposition as well, Leonidas is, would be, what would actually be like a god king, right? His people follow him because they love him. His people follow him because he takes care of them. His people follow him.
He killed that wolf.
He is larger than life while still, he is larger than life. Killed that wolf by himself while still being one of them. And then you juxtapose it to Xerxes, and they literally do this in the movie. Again, a simple line where Xerxes says, I would kill any one of my men for a victory. And then Leonidas says, and I would gladly die for any of mine. And then when Michael Fassbender is dying at the end, right? And he says...
This is a great line.
This is a great line. Well, you say it then, Dave. Get it, Dave.
It was an honor to die by your side. It was an honor to live by you, by yours. Or whatever.
Yay. Yeah. Yes! It's incredible. I fumbled the line.
I'm sorry.
So Xerxes is this... He is arrogant. He is full of himself. He thinks of himself as... this top tier, S tier, as the kids say. But Leonidas is actually the one who is, and he's humble, and he is one of his men, and he would give his life for one of his men, and he knows them. He immediately knew that that dude was that captain's son, and that he was not old enough to have known the warmth of a woman. He immediately knows that about all of them. So there is kind of another layer.
I play softball with that guy.
There is kind of another layer to when he says these are 300 of my personal guard. Mm. Any of them could be, because he knows them that well.
These are all my drinking buds. We go to an improv class together.
Man, 300 people at an improv class would be...
Well, you know, there's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday class. You know how it is.
I'm sure Leonidas and Gerard Butler would be phenomenal people to get a beer with.
Here's a quick question. What do you think Leonidas's improv group name would be? They always have kooky names. What do you think his improv group name would be?
It'd just be like improv
shield smashers. I'm trying to think of like a pun.
It'd be like the wolf killers. It's like, you're not really understanding this, are you, Leonidas? But I did want to also say, I want to remember to say, now we're not even close to being there, but I wanted to remember to say, as I was watching it this time again, this week, this thought came into my head, do you think that all these actors, like Faramir, Michael Fassbender, Gerard Butler, right, do you think they all, like, when they watch the movie or see clips of this movie, they're just like, fuck yeah, man, look at me.
Yeah, I mean, I almost think, I'm wondering if that those abs are like CGI.
They are not CG, because
they
just,
they're like makeup.
Was
though.
It like makeup?
No, this like world-renowned mountain climber came in to train them. They all did like 4 months of training, and the guy who trained them was like, I've never pushed anyone as hard as I have pushed these people. So it's all real. Maybe like, obviously like some bronzer or whatever.
Yeah,
but
real. Like there's like shading happening. Though, yeah, I feel
that's
like.
What I thought. Clearly these guys are jacked, but like I did get the sense that like they use some shading to accentuate some
it
things.
It looks crazy.
I don't think
though.
Very much. Like I think that is practical effect. Like they worked for that.
I think he does have an 8-pack, but like you said, they just kind of
to show up better.
Like there's a particular shot like where it pans up like over like there's like six of them, and it's just like they almost have identical chests. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
So many shots in this movie that I'm just like, fucking wallpaper, 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 wallpaper. I mean, it's just like fucking again, Faramir. To bring up Faramir, do you? That there's no way that dude is not looking at this movie like, look at my fucking 8-pack, man.
If
when
we
he's
go
like
back
to like this and stuff, ugh.
If we go back to 2007, Jana, did like many teenagers in the 70s who had a poster of Farrah Fawcett on their wall? Did you have a poster of Gerard Butler from 300 on your wall?
Oh no, I had a life size cut out of Legolas, but. Because I do not... I don't like this movie for the hot men. I'm, you know, I'm not Fridge. I'm not into super jacked men. I can appreciate that they're, you know, super jacked and that they're probably very proud of themselves. Hell yeah, go. You know, like Fridge.
Well, they have that look is like... They had it for that day. Like, that's gone the next day. Like, I feel that. Like,
well,
like, they have to, like,
had to cut
you have to not
water.
Eat and then also yeah. not have any water for, like, the whole, like, for, like, 24 hours.
Like, the week after they were done shooting, they were having cheat week.
Yeah.
You know it.
But you did touch on, so this is kind of an annoyance throughout my life. My number one absolute, if I could only watch one movie again for the rest of my life, favorite movie is The Birdcage. However, because most people don't know what that is, this is the one that I tell people is my favorite. If I could only watch two movies again for the rest of my life, it would be this one and The Birdcage. And throughout my whole existence of since this movie has come out, I've told people 300 is my favorite movie. Every single one of them. Oh, it's because of the hot guys. It's because of the hot guys. Do I look like Cody? I'm not Cody.
That's like, because we said in the intro, the female gaze. I feel like this is male gaze, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is not necessarily female. Like, the sex scene, that's female gaze.
Yes.
But the, like, the, it's male gaze. It's Zack Snyder, it's Snyder gaze. Like,
Snyder vision.
Yes.
Watching the statuesque men.
Yes.
I mean, it's hard to say because Fridge...
I guess
you know,
you're right, yeah.
Fridge is ineffable. She's got male gaze, she's got female gaze, she's got Tara gaze, she's got arachnid gaze. She's got it all, baby.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, it's one, like, it's funny because this will never live up to that Thirst Theater experience, I feel like, though.
Right.
Well, everyone was jacked up watching this. Like, it was crazy.
Well, because we'd never really see... I mean, yeah, since it existed, but this kind of took it to a different level, I think.
And when you're, like, watching it in a theater with other people, because it is an underdog story. And mm-hmm. so you are rooting for the underdog, and they're fucking badass. And they're, like, kicking ass, and you're like, yeah!
And then when they, like, fail, you're like, oh, no, I thought they could never... fail, you know.
Yeah, and it's like your heart breaks with everybody. It's like I think you're right that it's like a movie theater experience that you're not going to replicate watching it by yourself.
Mm-hmm. I cried 3 times watching it today with you.
I watched it 3 times before. 300 times.
I cried 3 times. Again, this movie has everything. Everything. I cry at the end when they're because it's just so moving. It's like you know, and they don't. I know you. I know that, you know, it's just a word that people use. They didn't really fail because they did set out what they did do what they set out to do, which was, number one, hold them off.
By time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number two, Leonidas, you know, the reason that they go to war is because they killed their king. You have to go to war after that, right? So he did, you know, get them to declare, yeah, we're going to war. And then number three, and most importantly of all, is what? Who's going to say it?
Go ahead.
Even a god king can bleed.
Yes. And I love that the way Cersei acts when Leonidas throws the spear. And it is a great scene. It's very memorable. Like when you think they're going to surrender, Leonidas takes his helmet off and you get the guy narrating, his helmet was stifling, you know.
Yes.
And it's all a build up to so he can kneel down and someone can jump up on his back and, like, you know, throw a spear and cause a diversion. And then Leonidas takes the spear and throws it and cuts Cersei's, like, he gives him a Joker mouth.
Yeah, he does.
And I love how Cersei's response, he basically acts like someone who, like, caught him having a bad makeup day or something. Like, oh, God, no.
My piercings!
I'm horrible!
My bizarre random piercings in the middle of my cheek.
Yes. It is a big moment, and it is cool. And like, honestly, like, that earlier you showed us that painting of Thermopylae that pretty much inspired this movie and the comic, Ryan. Like, that is that. I feel like that shot we see at the end with Leonidas dead, almost doing, like, a Christ pose. Mm. You see, like, Michael Fassbender off to the side, like, reaching out to him. Like, this is, like, him creating, like, a Renaissance painting or something.
Yeah, and the ending, the field and stuff, it's very like Western, like kind of stuff too. At the end, like the you know, woman at home, you know, waiting for their person to come back, kind of thing. And then like it's like the friend comes.
Well, we
back.
Get a shot right out of Gladiator with like the wheat fields or whatever.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking like too, like maybe like an old like John Ford movie or something. But like that kind of vibe. She does have like an interesting little story arc behind. I almost wish she was in the movie more, Lena Headey.
Yeah, you should go into her. Go into, because
I kind of like, she's sort of been one like I, you know, like of course she was on Game of Thrones, but like I like seeing her more in movies and stuff. But she's not in that as much as. It's crazy looking at her career though. You're like, oh my god, she's been acting forever. Like she's in that original Jungle Book movie. Oh, that not original.
Really?
But the one that's like from the 1994 one from Disney.
The Rudyard Kipling.
The live action one.
Rudyard Kipling, that one.
You're talking about the one, who was the guy in Jungle Book? Was it the guy who was in Mortal Kombat?
Yes.
Are you talking
Steven
about
Summers?
Oh, no, not Mortal Kombat. It was the guy who was Bruce Lee in Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, right?
Who is
Was that
it?
Him? Or I'm mixing it up.
That
Jason
is him.
Jason Scott Lee, yeah.
Are you talking about that is the best Jungle Book movie, period.
She's like the kind of like the English lady like in that movie, like kind of like the young English woman, I think.
It's so good. And first of all, treasure scene, one of the all-time treasure scenes, just like Cutthroat Island. How fucking dare you? Don't you even put that in your mouth.
Keep so where does Cutthroat Island rank if 300 and Birdcage are we're doing all of Jana's best favorite movies of all time.
Cutthroat Island is a family favorite movie. So it's my favorite pirate movie. For sure, definitely.
There's two pirate movies, I guess. In
best treasure movie. It's
three pirate
so good.
Movies,
my favorite pirate movie is Captain Ron.
I like Captain Ron. But Ryan, you should go into Queen Gorga's story.
Yeah, I mean, really, I don't know. I was just kind of. She kind of has like this trying to get support from people and is getting harassed and, you know, raped by. Who's that guy? Who's that? What's his deal? Like, his standing?
He's like a senator. I guess they're senators. They're the
counselors?
Senate, right?
Counselors?
Something like that.
It's sort of Star Wars-y, like their little story, or like prequel Star Wars kind of stuff going on in their little zone. Yeah.
But she
they're supposed to represent, like, the corrupt, you know, version of... But maybe, like you're saying, maybe Leonidas wants to do, you know, get rid of the corruption. Maybe Leonidas is a good dude.
It did seem like he was the only corrupt one. Because when she kills him and the Persian gold is strewn across the floor and shown, everybody's like, what the fuck? Like, he was... This movie does seem to lead us to want to believe that he was the only one of them.
And probably because he wanted to be he wanted to be in charge.
Yeah. And I think that he is, I mean, he certainly looks to be the youngest of all of them. So he's probably the one that he's their leader, basically. So I don't think all of them are corrupt. I think he is. And I think that they kind of follow him as like the, you know, young buck. He has his pulse on the...
Maybe if they weren't corrupt, maybe they were just sort of like weaklings, kind of.
They were
like,
very, yes.
You know.
Well, because again, they're meant to be like the Senate. They're meant to be like the government. They're meant to be the ones that are like, well, we don't want to go to war. We want to avoid war as much as possible. And then she says, you know, freedom is not free. Mm-hmm. It is not free. You have to pay with it with the ultimate price, which is blood. Her speech.
Did you not see that guy come in here with like a bag of skulls?
Yeah, he had the keys.
War has come to our doorstep, man.
Her speech in the Senate is incredible. She does have that one older ally. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his name is. I don't even know if we ever get his name, but he does try to help her. I mean, you get the sense that, especially because they are a warrior nation, they do want to go fight for their freedom. They're just being held back by the
tradition,
bureaucracy. The fucking bureaucracy, man!
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah, she gets them on board, if not for that secret weapon of the bad guys, the slow clap.
Another great secret weapon that everybody has. Just fucking lying. Just fucking lying right to everybody's faces.
Actually, she offered herself to me. Oh, no.
And I told her no. Yeah. He does play
She's
a good
her.
Smarm. He plays a very good smarm.
Yeah. But she stabs him, and she throws that line back at him, as you said earlier, like, this will not be pleasant. You will not enjoy this. This will not be quick.
Yeah. I am not your queen.
She kills him and cuts the bag so they see the Persian money fall out of his bag.
I kind of wish this ended with her, and maybe it did, with her kind of like becoming like queen of Sparta, and she leads them into, you know, battle and glory and stuff like that. That would have been kind of cool.
Well, so it does.
I don't remember the second movie.
What the hell is it called? I looked it up because I saw it once in theaters. I liked it. It was fine. Rise of an Empire. She is in that.
Okay, she was in that. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that? What was the deal with that movie?
It was good. Ashley, what is her name? Ava Green?
I remember seeing the 300 Rise of an Empire with Cody, and the only thing I remember from that movie is like the scene when Ava Green, who is like, I guess the de facto, she's not Cersei's, but she's like, I guess like his number
she's
one.
She's his adopted Greek. She is a Greek, but she's basically his like adopted daughter sort of thing.
Okay, and she's kind of like the main baddie of the movie, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like she beats with the Leonidas clone. He's essentially the Leonidas like character in the second
Athens.
Movie.
I think it's Athens in the second movie.
Okay, and basically they have a scene when he goes on board her like boat to like negotiate or something, and they end up proceeding to, as Cody puts it, wrestle fuck. And it's the funniest scene in the movie because that. But Jana, what about this sex scene? How does this scene stack up to you?
I already said the only good part, the best part of the sex scene is those tits. Come on now. Seeing their praise, I remember seeing it in person, being like, "Are those real? Those
are the How do those perfect, even exist?"
Those are the most perfect boobs I've ever seen. I think I did read later on that they did enhance them a little bit, but my God.
I would say, honestly, if we're talking about the sequel, it's mostly forgettable except that one scene, which is crazy. But yes. Getting back to 300, yeah, you know, you kind of turned me a little bit on this movie. Like, I just want to say, I didn't hate this movie at all. I just think, like, it doesn't shine quite as brightly as it did when I first saw it, like, about 20 years ago. Like, it just seemed so new at the time, like lightning in a bottle. And watching it now, after 20 years of movies like this that are shot in all green screen, and it kind of just washes over me now. Like, it doesn't shine quite as brightly as it did back then.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm similar. I kind of feel you with it. You get a little bit like kind of worn down a little bit with like kind of just as the movie kind of keeps going on. But
because it's light on story, yeah. It's almost just like I wish they'd beefed up the stuff going back on with Queen Gorgo.
That's
back
sort of
home,
my if I had, sorry, Fridge and Jana. Like that's my only little critique is I almost wish there was a little bit more going on with her, and I think it would make the those feel a little bit better now rewatching it, at least at home, you know, kind of thing. But I think. It's kind of funny because I think as I really was in on Zack Snyder for those handful of first few movies, I never actually even saw Sucker Punch. So it's like a weird thing. Like I missed Sucker Punch somehow and just wasn't a big fan of those damn Superman movies. But it's kind of funny because people like him and like even like Michael Bay and such. Like I'm recontextualizing where it's like these guys were pretty damn good at what they did, and they knew what they were making. I think is kind of the difference now. I kind of have is maybe I was a little more snooty before, and I'm kind of like, wow, they were pushing and doing stuff that like now stuff doesn't look as good. I think like if someone was making something similar to this, it would look more CGI. And I think this like maybe the backgrounds in this are fake, but that was kind of from the start. That's the vibe, you know what I mean? And so
yeah.
I think like. I think if you're looking like that's what's interesting about like say like that really famous tracking shot that's like following Butler kind of like going across the screen kind of like killing guys and keeps zooming in and out
to slow down zoom up
That's really cool tech where they shot that like that's a close up and a wide. It's not really a moving camera, and so it's like that's all editing going on. And it's incredible stuff. And I think like if you were like looking out the background, of course you're gonna pick out like weird things, but like. Your focus, I think that's what's interesting about him, is that especially in this movie, there's a lot of stuff, but your eye is going to certain things, I think. And I think, like, I don't know. I have a more appreciation for this kind of, like, this bullshit than I did when I was a kid. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I mean, now, the kids, I like this movie, but I'm saying, like, maybe there was, like, a few-year period there where I was just like, ah, yeah, whatever, these guys, you know. So I don't know. So I think there's some parts. I think if you could see in theaters, it would be great to to rewatch this movie. I think, my opinion.
You were excited about being on this episode.
Well, because I needed to be. I wanted to revisit it, and also it's a 300th episode. This is a big feat. That was more of the face. I was just like, I can't miss that. You know. Yeah,
Mike wanted to be here, but he got all like Fridge offered him like that crazy harem orgy thing experience he saw in the movie. So I don't know what Mike is doing. He's doing some kinky shit.
How could we not have talked about that scene? I loved that scene when I was younger, and it's still
the orgy scene.
Yes, it's like, okay, so I love vampires, and this has like that decadent feel of like, you know, a lot of vampire scenes in movies, stuff like that. Just like the decadence and the beauty and the sultriness.
It's interesting to talk about this scene real quick when Xerxes brings in
Lafealtes.
I'm sorry, I will not remember. I cannot remember that name.
Call him
When he brings that guy in, it's like he is able on a whim, like on a snap of a dime, just like, I need to bring in specific people that I can show to this guy. Like, hey, I'm on your side, man. Look, I'm chilling with naked people with no arms and like with like physical deformities too, just like you. Like, I'm a good guy, man. I'm on your side. like you want to lick some titties? Like, come on over here. All the good stuff's over here. Just kneel before me and show me the hidden way to get behind Leonidas so I can kill them.
I think Xerxes has some points. His the bad point is that he wants people to kneel to him. If this was just a guy hanging out in his own country doing this shit, we'd all be like, hell yeah, 24/7 party. Like, this guy's real good shit.
I don't know if it's necessarily, like, good, listen. He's you know, watching people make out in front of him and whatever. But I think it's more like he thinks he knows man. And men want sex / women / men, whatever. They want sex and they want money. And that is how you get men. But Spartans don't care about either of those things. They care about honor and war and Sparta.
Glory. They want glory. So to them,
they're kind of like the original Klingons.
Yeah, to them a glorious death, and we've seen other cultures like this in movies and throughout history and stuff like that. To them a glorious death, like Viking. I do even think that Leonidas says something about Viking in the movie.
Doesn't he say like it's said that, or the narrator says as like it's said that Spartans are descended from Hercules himself.
Well, and he does say our Viking history or something like that. So
our favorite movie is The Northmen.
To them, a beautiful death is a death in battle, which is why...
Well, from a worthy opponent. Not just in battle, but from somebody worthy. Yes.
And I love that the only worthy opponent to Leonidas is literally the rest of the world. Because we should say, if somehow you haven't seen 300, like, when you get these shots where they come out of, like, the walls of Thermopylae, and they're looking out at all the Persian army coming at them, it literally covers the landscape with bodies. With people that are there to fight. And it is insane. It's literally the rest of the world.
it's kind of sad because, like, probably most of those people are slaves. They don't really want to be there. Like, they're just innocent people that they're, like, throw bodies at them until they... That's sad. Another reason why Xerxes is no good.
Dave. 12, yes. Okay, yes. Like I said, if he was just in his own land, not taking slaves, everybody had slaves back then. Even the Spartans, actually had slaves. Yeah.
That's just how it was in the 60 BCE.
360.
You know, the Chris Farley a little bit, there's the ship's cliff shot. It's really cool. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, there is a fun moment.
Brings down the fucking pain.
Yes, that scene made me laugh because it's just like, we didn't have to do shit. Zeus just killed all these guys for us. Yay!
See, so obviously the gods don't give a fuck about whatever that Festivus thing is or whatever.
I looked it up. What was it called?
It would have been really cool. So this movie, again, 15 out of 10, absolutely fucking perfect movie. It would have been a very cool addition, I think, If just a couple of sprinkles throughout, maybe they put, like, actual of the gods in there. But that's just because I'm a fucking Greek.
They have magic,
nerd.
Like, dust that they throw that blows up. What do you want? They have immortals.
That's the Persians, dang.
That look like lizard men or something.
They're supposed to be demons. They're supposed to be demons.
Okay.
And they're real. Like,
what's
that's,
that?
That's a real thing. Xerxes
there were
had,
mystical demon monsters?
Yeah, Xerxes had that elite soldier force that he called immortals. That's a real thing.
Yeah, but they said. Weren't like lizard men.
I mean, no. Dave. I mean, honestly, who can say? I wasn't there.
Who
Maybe
say?
They were lizard
The archaeologists men. Haven't uncovered the lizard men graves.
Right. Do you really think archaeologists, even if they did, they would hush that shit up? They'd be like, we cannot tell the world that there were lizard demons in 360 BC. But yes, I think that this is... It's funny that you say that you get kind of like almost, you know, like tired of the, you know, you get
numb to it. Maybe he's more
numb to it. I can't even fathom. There's not a single moment of this movie. Like, you put this movie on. Cody and I watched it last year too, obviously, because Fridge makes me watch it every single week, allows me to watch it every single week. And we were both just like, fucking hell, this movie still slaps.
I imagine you and Cody watching this, like, your whole reaction, like, if you had a camera on YouTube watching this movie, it would just be you like them on the cliffs as Zeus is raining thunderbolts. So that scene when they're like, yes! Like, that's you guys watching this movie the whole
duration. Watching here this movie being like, okay, remember, if you or Cody ever die in battle together, you reach over and you say, it was an honor to die by your side.
It was an honor to watch this movie again by your side.
Well, you know, every once in a while we do go to battle with the Morton Hoof's troops and the Arachne people. They're all upset about something right now with Kitchen. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like, I'm like, writing down, like, okay, remember to say this in real life.
Yeah, but any closing thoughts on 300?
I have one thing that I noticed, which is fun. And it might just be, like, a misedit, but at the beginning, when the messenger comes and they're walking towards the big well or whatever, the big, you know, the hole, and it's when it does, it goes back to like a wider shot and you see him walk to stand directly in front of the hole. And I was like, why would you do that?
That almost reminds me of like The Simpsons where he's like, would you, like Mr. Burns, would you move a little to the left, please?
Once again, The Simpsons.
Very hard. I was like, he just moved in front of this giant hole. What did he expect to happen?
Well, I think
it was just the shot. I think he was meant to be standing there.
And in the con, so I will say, I've never noticed that in particular before. I have noticed it does seem like Leonidas positions him that way. I have always kind of gotten that flavor that, oh, Leonidas positions him in front of this so that he can do this if he needs to. But even if he does, you know, kind of consciously or unconsciously or whatever, stand in front of the giant hole, I don't think there is an ounce of him that is worried about his own life.
Oh, I agree. Agreed.
Yeah.
I do agree with that.
Because it's blasphemy. It's madness.
I thought you were going to say something, Kara, where it's like, did you notice that one shot where there's like a boom mic in the shot? Like, that's pretty unprofessional, right?
No, but it was in slow motion. I think it was intentional.
The slow motion in this is just... Mwah. Mwah.
Well, this always happens when we have you on, Jana, but, like, I'm sure if you look down at your notes, there's, like, two pages that you haven't addressed
yet.
Yeah,
we'll do a run-through of anything else you have.
Well, it's just like you said, it's not super plot-heavy, right? So, really, all I would want to do would be to pull up different shots of the movie and be like, remember this shot? Remember this shot?
I do want to say another thing, just to put all of our minds at ease. Later in this war... The Greeks do defeat the Persians. They put
it. Oh, it all worked out in the end. Okay.
But it's because of this stand that they took here that gave them time to get all of Greece together to form their army, because Greece was fucking their motherfuckers, man. They'll fuck you up. They beat Persia before and they beat them again. But Xerxes' dad tried to take over Greece and they were like, no, bye. And then so Xerxes Darius. Was like, I'm going to try. And they were like, nope, bye.
Well, you know, it is a cool thing that, you know, because this whole movie is like building up how cool the Spartans were and how, especially Leonidas. And the idea is like, there was, if it's like, well, if 300 Spartans can do what they did, imagine what 10,000 yes. Spartans could do.
Yes, that's how it ends. Yeah.
Yeah. It is and a cool, incredible. Like, build up moment.
Yes. Yes.
They outnumber us a paltry 3-1. I love those odds.
Well, because Greece was. So, again, I'm not. None of us are historians. Cody also did just make me watch Troy, which is a terrible movie. But I do believe.
Now you know who are you fighting.
Why didn't Troy work for you? I mean, I haven't watched that since it came out either, but I remember liking that.
Okay. So, 300 is very clearly a comic book movie, right? Number yeah. one. Number two, it is very clearly an oration, a story of somebody who is a Spartan and also wants to rally the troops, like Kara said. Troy, the movie, does some of the stupidest fucking shit I have ever experienced. Short of fucking Harry Potter, where they change shit from the story for no fucking reason. And so I was just watching it because I read the Iliad, and I, again, not a historian, but I am, you know, a fan of that history and that time period and something, and they just changed a bunch of shit, and I'm just, like, sitting here, like, this is almost unwatchable. It's so poor to the source material. Brad Pitt is gorgeous. Come on now. Actually, funny story, too, because Brad Pitt was originally supposed to play Leonidas, and I just don't think he has the stature. I know that he played Achilles, who is arguably the best, if not one of, I mean, obviously one of the best, if not the best, fighter from, you know, that time period and those histories and stuff like that. But I still think that Gerard Butler's stature that he brings to Leonidas.
He kills it. I think he does his presence. Great job.
So good.
Well, this is what, that's one of those things where it's like, I can't imagine anyone else in that role.
Right. Right.
I think he's very underrated. I think I think he does a great job in this. And then he goes and plays the Phantom in Phantom of the Opera.
He's so good in the
Phantom. Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's so good in Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, it's cool that, like, I'm glad that someone like that can find, like, their niche and is, like, has tons of movies he still makes. And, like, people worldwide, he must, because this movie did it, like, he must be just, like, popular everywhere, I think. And so, like, if they're still making, like, these kind of, like, I'm not gonna say junky movies, but he's sort of like, they're kind of B movies a little bit.
No, he's in junky movies.
Yeah, he's like in like B. He's like in like.
I feel like he's in the same realm of like Jason Statham.
Kind of, yeah, but like it's almost like a classier. I don't know, maybe not. I don't know, but those guys now found their niche that like people are watching their movies still, like on Redbox or whatever the hell, like all over the world probably. You know, like there's something about them that capture these guys, like still captures like, you know, fucking dudes. You know, like
yes, they're dude ass dudes. They're lads that will, can, you know, beat the shit out of you. Can't you just picture Gerard Butler walking into a bar and, like, somebody messing with him and you're just being like, no, like, no, no. And then they do not stop messing with him and so he just fucking brawls him, you know?
Like, what's, like, an 80s or 90s equivalent? Like, kind of like a Charles Bronson or something like that? Maybe not. That's an old guy. I'm trying to think of, like, other kind of, like, dudes that made
Harrison
a lot of
Ford? But Harrison Ford is, I do think he's a higher tier actor.
Yeah, I don't know, just like one of those like guys that in like 10 years someone's gonna be like, you know, he's been around for a long time, he's made 100 movies, you know. And
yeah,
like for instance when Greenland 2 came out, I was like I didn't even know there was a Greenland 1. What? It's like this post-apocalyptic movie, like I never even heard of Greenland 1.
He doesn't get a lot of respect. Gerard Butler does not get a lot of respect, but listen, he brings the sauce. Whether you want to eat that sauce or not, completely up to you, but you cannot deny that he brings the sauce.
Yeah, I think he's good. And again, if anything, like, yeah, like I appreciate that this movie exists because it brought us Michael Fassbender in a great breakout role. He would, like I said, 2 years later, he'd be in Inglourious Basterds, which might be my favorite Tarantino movie, because I think Fassbender is really just like the standout of that movie, in my opinion. I mean, there's a lot of standouts in that movie. It's a great movie, but for me, he's a standout in that movie when he does the three like this, you know, the three, like, that's not the gem in three, you know, like, I love that scene, that whole sequence. And I honestly, if we're talking actors, like, Fassbender for me is like, he's one of my guys, as Mark Maron would say. I love Michael Fassbender. I think he's great. I don't think this is going to happen. He's probably aged out of it, but I think Michael Fassbender would have been a great James Bond. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah. He would have been in the same flavor as, like, he would have bridged the gap, I think, between Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig.
Mm. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
All right. Well, obviously, it's a recommend for me. 15 out of 10 movie. And get your chicks to watch it with you, man. There will be things that they can appreciate, too.
I hate
your
chicks.
get an orgy going. Watch 300.
Listen, man.
That'd be a good thing to have. It'd be a good one to have on during an orgy, you know.
Yeah, fabulous.
Because as they say, sex and violence go together, right?
I mean, I love the historical of like the tech and where it settled, and like that's my favorite stuff about this stuff. I like the context of like, wow, this was definitely changed things for either the like for cool and also bad. In a weird way, which I...
So, Dave, or Ryan, what is cinematography in this movie?
Well, that's a big question. But cinematography usually is like the person that basically lights and ends the camera, like of the setting up the shots and stuff. But they're mostly... Their bigger thing is the lighting, really, is the of a movie. But they're also the cameraman in charge of that cinematography.
So would you say that this movie has good cinematography?
Yeah, but it's
they create
different.
Like the atmosphere. Would
yeah,
you say?
I would say yeah, and like or that's also like
the overall look of
the
movie.
Look of the movie. I would say, but yeah. The thing is that what's different about this is that this is I would say a new version of cinematography. Like this is like the new digital realm. Like this is like what I think you really have Robert Rodriguez to because. Thank for this type of thing because he was doing it with Spy Kids and like it's that kind of like we're gonna don't need much sets and this is how they make like the Avengers movies now and stuff, which is kind of a bummer because I think like sometimes like they can look kind of janky, like especially on the recent ones, but this is they basically make those movies now like this in a weird way, which is kind of crazy. Like not all of them, but like a good chunk of like that type of stuff.
And that's kind of what I was brushing up against watching this. It's like we see that's the new style now, and it makes me depressed because I miss locations and sets and stuff like that. Not a set that consists of like a dirt patch, a couple rocks, maybe a pillar, and that's it. Like it stands out to me, and I don't like it. So admittedly it's baggage I'm bringing to this movie. Like I think ultimately I would recommend this movie, especially like again from a historical context in terms of movie making. It's interesting to watch in that regard. And you know what? Like you said, we got some breakthrough performances by Fassbender and Butler. So
Dave, said that.
Well, you know what? I think would be a good.
Well, we've all said that basically.
Yeah. Like a really good equivalent, which is crazy. It didn't work out. I think
so. I'd recommend. Just saying, it's a recommend.
Like, Speed Racer was 2 years later, and that was shot the same way as this movie. And I think like holds together so well. I think better. Like people weren't ready for it, but it's a similar type of vibe. And that was one of the last. Like, it very stylized, there's nothing real in that movie except for the actors, kind of like this.
Yeah.
A little bit, so
interesting.
But
well, what about you, Kara? Would you recommend 300?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I would. Yeah.
And not just because I've got a collar with a bomb on my throat. If I say no, it's going to explode.
No, I think for how naked these guys are, the costumes are pretty cool. I don't know. Like,
the costumes are funny.
They look like superheroes. They have like those capes. They all have those red Superman capes.
I'm fine with the capes. I don't. Why do they just have little underwears on?
You think they should be naked? Is that what you're saying?
I think they should have armor on because they're going to war.
Yeah.
I think they should probably not get rid of the underwear, is my opinion. I think I would have been a 15 out of 10 if that was the case, like with Jana.
They were just fighting in the nude?
Yeah, like that poster.
Like in Eastern Promises?
Yeah. The thing is I bet if Zach, if he could get away with it, he would have done that, I think.
Just naked, fighting. Yeah.
Well, I never saw Sucker Punch. I mean, weren't they?
No, they have clothes.
Well, they're like schoolgirl outfits. Again, that like I said, a 13-year-old like drawing in their notepad.
Yeesh.
But I don't know. He didn't. Did you guys ever see Rebel Moon?
Mm-mm. No.
He doesn't see. Jack, I'm surprised Janet never got into Rebel Moon at all.
Oscar Isaacs, right?
No.
Or
that's
the other guy?
That's Moon Knight.
That's Sucker Punch.
No, there's something Moon.
Moon Knight?
Moon Knight.
That's totally different.
Rebel Moon was like his Zach's, like, I want to make a Star Wars thing. And it was a Netflix.
But R-rated Star Wars.
Yeah, it's tough. I didn't finish the first one. He was trying to make the trilogy. They only made two, and I think it kind of fell off. But I hope he comes back. He's apparently working on like something. He's doing like the like one man, not one man, but like small crew, kind of in the real world type of thing. Like he's doing something different now, I think.
Like Snyder on the streets or something?
Yeah, it's like Billy on the Street, but that
kind of quick, have you seen my new movie, like, Rebel Moon Part 2, now playing on Netflix?
Oh my god, you guys just said some very magical words to Kara.
What? Name a woman?
No. She loves
I love Billy Eichner.
Oh, me too.
That's too many people.
Zack Snyder can't hold a candle to Billy Eichner.
Difficult people.
Well, so unanimous recommends across the board for 300. Fridge, if you can hear me, if you're still listening, if you're just standing outside the door still fuming, we all recommend it. So put your spear down.
Lucky movie man.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, it sounds like we've appeased Frigius, Lord Frigius. We all recommended the movie, so I think our plans for our upcoming Summer Film Fest for this year are still intact. They will not be rewritten by Frigius. We've offered tribute by watching 300, so thankfully. But
congrats on 300.
Congrats on 300 episodes, guys. And Fridge, again, Jana, Kara, Brian, Mike, Jackie, Cody, everyone else who's been on the show couldn't have done it without you.
Morton Hoof.
Interplanar travel?
Yeah, the dimensional travel of Eric and Madeline.
Interdimensional travel, and Eric.
Resorbed twin mentalities.
The whole cavalcade of crazy characters that have been on this show for the last 6 years.
Becky and Eric are the twins.
I bet Kara can name them all. All right, go.
Becky and Eric are the twins that switch consciousness.
What a tangled weave of craziness that we've sewn
Andrew
together on this
the
show.
Jim, the retired ball player.
Who's
going to
make
teacher?
The wiki? We should have a wiki by now, you know? Who's going to start running
that? How do you do that?
I feel like someone trying to explain the characters and events of the show, it would basically be that gif of Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like the crazy Charlie Day.
Is there like a, you hate the AI, but can you like just have it listen to all the episodes and like make the wiki for us somehow?
Gosh. Listen.
What? It's
I might sign off on it, but only if we could guarantee.
And don't forget that John Hinckley was in an episode.
John Hinckley lost a mic. Chad Duber or whatever the fuck.
Chad.
Yeah, technically we can't do any of this without Chad.
Yeah.
Can't do
he runs the story, does it all.
Okay, I'm fandom the wiki thing. Here's help to start a community.
I tried to make a wiki once for something else, and you have to edit other posts before you can make your own wiki.
What about for like the fan ones? Like
maybe fan one. Like the fandom. I don't think that existed when I tried to do it. It was a long time ago.
I'm talking about like the ones that are like the Doughboys have and like Blank Check and stuff like those.
Yeah, just have Chad do it.
Yeah, have Chad AI do it.
Well, can we? Maybe we could ask Fridge if she can build like a data center to get this all going for us.
I think at this point you need to.
Fridge does not have slaves. Everybody who works for Fridge gets paid a wage. Yes, Kara has a collar with a bomb around her neck. She knows what she did.
Wow.
All right, well, 300 episodes, guys. Congrats. Can't wait to bring you 300 more.
You should have had the fans write letters.
Yeah.
We have a very complicated history with fan letter writing.
That'll be for I don't know. What's a good number? I think like 30. I don't know. 309? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I'm pretty sure you met one of your best friends from a fan letter type thing, Dave.
Well, we'll sign off by saying, this
is Apocalypse Video!
Pompous inbred swine. Worthless, diseased, rotten, corrupt.